Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
The Music of America podcast wraps up our visit to South Carolina today, a really fun band called Dazer, and we're going to meet them. They're from Clemson. I'm going to talk about life in a college town and rock and roll and all that cool stuff in a minute. But years ago, I got into an accident at work where I ended up spending the entire month on my stomach while my back wounds were healing. I had scalded and severely burned my lower back. And about 2 weeks into my healing, I realized, hey, I haven't had a cigarette in 2 weeks. That's how I quit smoking. Now, that method worked for me. I don't suggest it to anybody else. But there is a thing that could help you out. Thank goodness there's a company called Laser Therapy South. They're located just outside of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Since 2003, Laser Therapy South has helped thousands of people all over the world quit smoking, reduce stress, alleviate chronic and acute pain. Laser Therapy South has developed its own unique approach to tackle both the physiological and the habitual components of addiction to help you achieve total success. Laser Therapy. It's an acupuncture-based treatment that originated actually in Canada and Europe about 25 years ago. It's cool though, your success is measured immediately. Laser therapy is instantaneous. Your treatment date is also your quit date. The laser is sort of a cold or therapeutic laser. It doesn't produce heat. It doesn't cut tissue. Most clients walk away feeling more like having had a massage after treatment. Laser Therapy South, www.lasertherapysouth.com, where all your questions can be answered. Check them out if you want to quit smoking. Don't, you know, pour hot, scalding water on your back like I did. Laser Therapy South, where being a quitter is a good thing. The band is called Dazer. And every time I see your name, there was a song back in the 70s by a group called Brick. And the song was called Daz, Disco Jazz. And every time I see your name, it's D-A-Z-R. And the band is D-A-Z-Z. And now I can't get that song out of my head. And it's been in my head. Like Trump is in the head of all the Democrats. You know, it's just, I can't get it out of my head. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Grant, this is your baby. Or are you guys all kind of collective on this? Grant Hendrix,
the founder. Yeah. We're all collective on it. I'm just the one who happened to start it. Uh-huh. I've always wanted to start a band. And so I was having trouble looking on social media and everything. Cause everybody that I found, you know, lived out in LA or they live, yeah, you know, New York, and they live somewhere where I couldn't, you know, drive over to their house and jam. Uh-huh. And so I put flyers up around Clemson, like around the campus. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met him. He messaged me off the flyers.
And him is Shranko.
Yeah, sorry, Shranko. Sorry, Shranko. The bassist, Shranko. Uh-huh. And then he and I were just together for a while, and we were just kind of doing jamming, you know, just he and I. And then, a couple singers, but none of them really, you know, panned out that well.
Yeah, if only there was somebody in the family.
Yeah. So then Austin could sing. You know, I always thought he could, because he and I shared a room like whenever we were kids growing up, so you don't run around, you know, the house singing and stuff.
Hang on, it's doing this again. I don't know. It's like you better get really for what, maybe it's because you're off on an angle or something, but I'm so maybe. Yeah. Just okay, kind of lean into it. It's weird.
Okay.
I can send you the video so you can see what's happening. It's like when you move away like this, you go.
Okay. Yeah. I'll try to stay right here.
All right. So let's, we'll just go into Austin in 3, 2.
Yeah. So, he and I shared a room. Austin and I shared a room whenever we were kids, you know, growing up until high school. And I always thought he could sing, or because I heard him, you know, running around the house singing a little bit.
Yeah.
And so anyway, he ended up trying it, and I wanted an honest opinion from Shranko, and because I didn't want to sound biased, you know, since he's my brother.
Sure.
And so I asked Austin. I was like, hey, you know, can you record a snippet of you singing a song, and I'll send it to Shranko and not tell him it's you, and just see what he thinks. And so we recorded a vocal cover. It was a Motley Crue song. It was Too Young to Fall in Love by Motley Crue.
Okay.
And so we recorded a little snippet of it, and I sent it to Shranko, and Shranko messaged me back, and he goes, And I was like, hey man, what do you think about this guy? Like, you know, he messaged me this demo. Like, what do you think? Do you think he, you know, can sing? And he comes back and he was like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell. And I was, of course, I'm like, oh no, like, does that mean like he doesn't sound good? And then I was like, well, what do you mean? And he was like, well, I can't really hear him because he's singing with the track. And I was like, he's not singing with the track. He's singing with the backing track. There's no
Oh,
vocals in the whole track. And then so, you know, he then I told him it was Austin and everything. And it kind of snowballed from there. As far as Jack goes, we used to have another drummer about a year ago, but he quit and we moved on. And we found this guy through, he and I have a mutual buddy. And he was in a Metallica tribute band for a while. And so we went to go see him play. And he actually came to come see us play in Columbia. And then we kind of developed the connection from there. And then that's how he hopped in.
Cool. Kind of fun how everybody's helps each other, you know, when you need somebody. You get out to some of these barren states, I call them, you know, like South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and there's one drummer that plays in like five different cities, you know. It's you're in a college town, so you have that advantage. You have more infusion of youth, so you've got more to pick from. That's kind of cool. So tell what is Dazer? You guys are a cover band, but not, or you are a
Yeah,
cover.
so we're not, we play covers, but I wouldn't say we're a cover band because the only reason we play covers is just to get, you know, out there and get gigs and, you know, to get recognition for when we do release all of our originals. Because we have about what do we have? Eight originals. We have eight originals that are finished now that just one of them's recorded and we're, you know, saving up money to go into the studio to record the rest of them. So, you know, we play covers and bars and music venues and stuff as well as our originals in the mix. And we do that in order to, you know, keep bookings going and get more recognition and everything. So that once we do release our originals, people will know what our influences are and what we sound like.
Now you do have a new one that's actually in the process of being put out. The song is called Night Lady, and we may have that on this podcast. That's how weird this
Hopefully.
industry is, you know. We're gonna talk as though we're not gonna get it, but if it's finished and post-production is all done and they get it to you before this airs, because these are all pre-recorded, you know, if we can get it before it airs, we'll have that on the show. But this will be your first original. Is that right? Your first original that you'll be putting out, or have you put other songs?
Yeah, it'll be the first original that we are releasing, like on Spotify and Apple Music and all platforms. So it'll be our first official release, but we've been playing the song live for about a year and a half
Oh,
now.
really?
So yeah, so we wrote this song a while ago, and then, you know, we had some falling out with our other drummer and stuff before we met Jack and everything. So, you know, we went and recorded with the other drummer, but then we had falling out with him shortly after, so we didn't want to release it with somebody who's not even in the band anymore on the record. So we had to go back and re-record and everything.
Yeah, we kind of emailed about that. I wasn't quite sure what you're talking about. Now it makes sense. You know, now I get it. So, and we'll talk more about Night Lady, because the last segment of our show we call Shameless Self-Promotion. I just want to just pimp the heck out of that one. Okay. But you brought up something, Jack, I wanted to ask you, because these guys were sort of established now and you came in as the newbie, you know. So what's that like? You got a obviously, you know their music, and but you don't know the personalities as well as you might. So what's it like, the new kid on the block coming into an established band?
Yeah, so I went to go watch them, and I was a little nervous to go watch them because I knew I was gonna have to talk to them and stuff. But I was like, "How bad could it be?" But when we got done, I talked to Grant, and he was like, "Hey, we got a show like in April. I think it was April 14th, I believe, in Clemson." And he was like, "Do you want to do it?" And I was like, "Uh-oh," because it was like early March, so I had like a month to like learn like 40 songs. And I was like, uh-oh. So yeah, I kind of just kind of picked up the ball with that one.
That's cool.
He impressed me, I'll say that. He impressed all of us.
Well, it's funny. So last night, this is, you know, pre-recorded, but last night I went and saw in St. Louis a couple of my favorite local artists, blues rock guys, and Tony Campanella, huge fan. He is the reason why I don't play Tin Pan Alley anymore. He is now the reason why I won't play Old Love by Eric Clapton, because he kills it for me. And I'm just not even going to try anymore. His drummer, his show was at 8:30 last night. At 7:30, his drummer calls and says, "I'm sick." And he was sick. Like, things were coming out of orifices, every part of his body, you know? So he calls up a buddy of his and says, "Can you fill in tonight?" He's like, "I can try." And you'd have thought he'd played with these guys forever. And there's a thing, dude, that happens with drummers that you don't have to know it. You have to know a bigger it to make it work. And that's all this guy did. And you know, you throw in your own fills and stuff, but you couldn't tell that the guy wasn't a part of the band. And I'm kind of getting that vibe is what you had happened to you too, right? You had 40 songs to learn in a month. You probably didn't learn them exactly right, but you probably learned them really, really well enough to stay a part of Dazer.
Yeah, till this day, I still practice them because they've kind of just grown on me. And, you know, like I come from like a metal genre. So
yeah,
switching over to like Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, all this stuff, it makes you a better player.
Mm-hmm. So Austin, you're the brother.
Yeah.
You look like the baby of the group, are you?
I am. No.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see this is audio only, so people can't really tell, but you do. I could see that though. Yeah. I could see Jack being the baby too, but you both look, well, y'all look young, but I'm 68. So everything looks young to me, you know. What was it like when your brother approached you and said, "You want to give it a shot?"
Yeah.
Were you flattered, embarrassed, or?
Well, so, I mean, I was nervous at first because my dad, he, you know, he's a musician. He plays a lot and everything, and he sings. And he always would like try to get me to come up and, you know, jam with him either in the house or with his buddies and stuff. And I was like real shy. I was like, "No, I don't want to." And so whenever I was actually helping him put out flyers to look for a singer. And he came up to me after that. He was like, "You know, why don't you just try singing? Like, because I'm good at like mimicking noises and stuff and just like imitating things."
Uh-huh.
And he was like, "You know, I've heard you like sing before. I think you should try it." And I was like, "I don't know. You know, Again, I was nervous and I didn't think I could sing." And then, so I was just like, "Okay, I'll give it a shot." And then ended up singing, and Grant and Franco listened to it and they were like, "Yeah, you can actually sing." Cause I always thought it didn't sound good. So yeah. I was like, "Of course I don't want to sing in front of people." But yeah, so I mean, they, you know, told me that it sounded good. So I just kept rolling with it. And yeah, here we are.
You got quite a range, man. You got quite a range.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds fresh. It doesn't sound like anything's forced. I love that.
Yeah.
I've got these pipes and I'm doing, you know, Guns N' Roses, and I'm, you know, what's the other one? Bon Jovi. I'm having to sing Bon Jovi. I'm like,
really?
These pipes, and I got to sing Bon Jovi. So
yeah,
it sounds effortless, you know, and it sounds really good.
Yeah, thank you.
That's pretty cool.
Definitely doesn't feel effortless sometimes.
Oh, I know. Some of those are like, So Shranko, save the best for last, I guess, right? What were you doing before you met Grant?
Pretty much just being a student in classes. I was actually in my high school, you know, orchestra band. Then I moved into the college marching band. So I actually played trombone for the Clemson marching band.
Oh, you did.
So I got to perform in the stadium several times, but I do not regret the decision at all to go from marching band to rock band. It has been such a great ride so far. Absolutely.
We're having an issue with the mic, so if you could kind of lean into it when you're talking, it's one of those things when you get this happens when I get five guys, six guys, four guys, whatever. And we're all sharing like one microphone, and somebody always gets shafted, no pun intended. But so marching band to bass, how does that transition work in your head?
So let's see. I kind of started with wind instruments first, mm-hmm. and then it's kind of a long story getting started with bass, but essentially someone I knew had a bass,
uh-huh.
and I played it, and I had gotten like a Toys R Us guitar for like Christmas. So I knew how to play Another One Bites the Dust on guitar, and it translated to bass. And I was like, "Oh, this is kind of cool. This is way more fun than guitar that I don't really know how to play."
Uh-huh.
And so that was like, I don't know, sixth, seventh grade. And so I started doing jazz bands, then high school band with wind instruments, and then after school jazz band, doing bass. And then, so I've just been kind of working two instruments for a while, but now I'm pretty much bass all the way. So
when you left the marching band, you were committed then. Is that when you left and joined Dazer? Is that when you met up with Grant, or did you do a band or two in between there, or what?
So I'd been jamming with, you know, a couple of the other like musicians from my jazz band, you know, a couple guitar players and drummers, uh-huh. But nothing serious. My last year in the marching band was right when I had met Grant.
Okay. So, yeah.
And then I decided not to pursue the next, my final year in the marching band because, well, I was busy.
Gotcha.
Busy in Dazer.
Well, Grant, I wanted to talk to you, or I guess I could talk to all of you, but I want to hear about the production. I'll get back to Night Lady one more time before we take a break, but tell me about the production. This is the first time you've ever, well, who wrote it first? Who wrote Night Lady?
Oh, we all did.
Oh, you all did? Okay.
Yeah, we all, when it comes to writing, we all, normally I'll kind of come up with a little bit of a riff, and then after that, we all work on it collectively.
That's the fun when a band can do that, because sometimes it's just like, this is my song, and then Austin will say, well, here's my song, and then Jack will say, I wrote a song too, don't fire me, you know? So, but it's cool. It starts with a riff. Sometimes it starts with an idea for a lyric, right?
Yeah.
Or sometimes it'll just start with a melody that's in my head and I have no idea what to do with it. And then you build out from that, but you all collectively build out. And that's really neat because that solidifies the team of the band Dazer, you know? Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We, so I think, I had originally come up with the chorus riff, first, and then I brought it, and then I showed Trinko, and he said it's, you know, he liked it, and then I showed it to Austin, and then and so forth, and Jack put a bunch of cool fills in there on the drums, which I really dig, coming out of the solo and going in and everything. So yeah, we all worked on it together collectively, and then as far as lyrically, I mean, you can speak to where your head was at lyrically. I mean, the song itself is pretty high energy, definitely rock and roll to its core, I think.
Yeah.
So I can let him speak to the lyrics.
What's the story about it, Austin?
Yeah. So, I mean, originally the lyric was, it's again from our old drummer. I think it was actually from you.
Yeah.
It was Blood Money. So it was like kind of AC/DC-ish topic. Okay. And then our old drummer, he was like, no, that sounds way too heavy. We should name it Night Lady instead. So then I just kind of like, you know, try to create a story throughout the song.
Yeah.
And, you know, just develop that. So it ended up going from Blood Money to Night Lady, and then, you know, writing a song around, you know, basically nightlife. So that's how that,
because Night Lady conjures up one image, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's another image.
Yeah, totally. Pretty dead on.
Maybe going to listen to it, and maybe not. First time ever in the recording studio for each of you then?
No, technically this would technically be our second, because the first time we went, we had our old drummer, so we didn't want to, you know, release it with him on it.
Yeah.
So we kind of just scrapped it, and we were like, well, once we find a new, and the process took so long, because by the time he was out of the band and Jack was in, that was a 6 month period between the two.
Yeah.
And so it took me it took us about 6 months to find a guy, who fit, who checked all the boxes, because, you know, we could find somebody who could play the songs, but they didn't want to do it for the rest of their life, and or they didn't want to do it, they didn't want to take it seriously, or, you know, they didn't want to, you know, be the part, dress the part, put on a show, they didn't really want to take it as seriously, or it was the other way around, they did want to do it really bad and stuff, but they couldn't play the songs,
right?
And another struggle we had, you know, we're all in our, I'm ironically the oldest one in the band. I'm 23. Jack's 20. Trinko's 23, and Austin's 22. So, you know, finding guys, not only musicians who are at our age, musicianly well enough to play some of the songs that we play, because we do play some, you know, some harder stuff. You know, playing a Ritchie Blackmore solo on guitar isn't very easy.
Right.
And, you know, same for drums. And, you know, we play some Rush stuff. And so finding somebody our age that is good enough, but is also into the music, not just, hey, I'm skilled enough that I can play it, but I'm actually, this is what I listen to, this is what I dig. That was one of the hardest parts. And so trying to find a guy, I mean, that's why it took me 6 months before I found Jack. Because I was just, you know, sifting through guys, trying to find the guy who checked all the boxes that we needed, and that was the hardest part, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break and do one of these commercial here things, and then when I come back, we're going to start talking about some of your cover music, if you don't mind. You guys might be interested in this, too. Trevor and Eileen Bild have a company called Ordinary to Extraordinary Life, or Hotel, like hotel without the H. So it's Trevor, Eileen Bild. They've created this company. They produce and manage the largest all-original indie music Roku channel, Hotel Music Videos. They like to give back to help others be seen and heard for their life legacy. They welcome all new submissions from a variety of genres. Visit their website. It's www.hoteluniverse.com. When you get there, click on the What is Roku tab. There'll be a drop-down menu, and you click on Roku channels, submit your video, or submit the video form there, and then they'll have you on their Roku channel. So Roku's seen in about 160 countries. You got a viewership of over 80 million active accounts worldwide. So a band like, oh, I don't know, maybe Dazer, that's looking for some international recognition, be a great place to start. Be sure to add this channel to your Roku menu. Watch and give them 5 stars. Hotel Universe, www.hoteluniverse.com. Dazer, have you guys done video?
We have.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just did, what was it, Beth? About a month ago, we did a cover of Highway Star by Deep Purple. And we did that on, we did a YouTube cover, and then we filmed a performance video to go along with it. And so that was our first experience doing more of a pre-planned production type video. Because, you know, we've done a bunch of, you know, live footage and stuff. You know, we have a photographer and a videographer that comes to our shows to take pictures and videos. But that was the first time we'd done like a pre-planned, hey, this is where we're going to be, this is the lights we're going to have, you know, a produced video. So that was a lot of fun and a cool experience for all of us, I think.
You guys just seem to have it together, you know? You really do. You're 20.
Thank you.
20 years old at the youngest, that guy in that Buffalo shirt, you know? All right, I'm sorry. I said I was done with it. I had to get that one more in. But and you're the old guy at 23. When I was in a cover band, we called ourselves Modern Vintage because John and I were vintage. We were in our 50s, and the other kids, some of them weren't even, the other guys were turning 21. Now in Missouri, you can't drink until you're 21. So they're missing out on all their friends are turning 21 and they're missing out on all these parties because they're gigging, you know, like, well, we don't want to do this anymore. It's not all the parties. I'm like, yeah. Play music, right? You know?
Yeah. They call me the Mick Mars of our band because I'm the old guy.
Oh,
so. But yeah, that's how it is with Jack, because we can't go out with him, you know, when we're not playing because he can't get in. The only time he can get in is when we're gigging at the bar.
Yeah.
So anytime we're not, you know, we're not playing, we're either rehearsing or we're just kind of hanging out, goofing off, doing whatever else.
When's your birthday, Jack?
September 29th.
Hurry up. Grant, you brought up Highway Star, and that's a song you submitted for us to hear. And I like how you make it your own. You do that with all your covers, then? You don't just try and play it exactly like Deep Purple, exactly like AC/DC, or exactly like whomever. You make it your own. What did you do with Highway Star to make it your own?
So what we do with Highway Star, specifically, I can speak guitar-wise because I don't know extensively what each of the others did.
Yeah.
But guitar-wise, the amps that I used are similar to the ones Richie Blackmore used, but I'm a big Van Halen guy. That's like what got me into guitar from the beginning. And so, you know, I had the Plexi, you know, dimed all everything on 10.
Yeah.
And so my tone was different, and then some of the chord changes I played slightly different than the way Richie does. Just because I like playing, since I'm the only guitar player in the band, I like trying to make all the chords as thick and fat as possible.
Right.
And so, you know, Deep Purple had a keyboardist to fill, you know, to fill some girth in the band.
Right.
And so some of these chords that I was playing, you know, I was playing real big fatter chords than Richie was originally playing. And then on top of that, you know, I I play the solo the way Richie did, but I try to throw my own little flair in there with some certain things, and I click a couple effects on that are just a little different than Richie did live. Oh yeah.
How about you, Austin? Does do you bring a different flair to when you do this song?
Yeah, I just think tone wise, you know, it's a little bit different. But as far as, you know, phrasing or anything else like that, it's relatively the same. I know for him on guitar, you know, the piano section, because there's piano solo section in Highway Star that he actually does in the guitar, guitar.
I thought that was really cool, by the way.
That fills the noise.
That's very hard.
I bet, yeah.
All they heard coming from my room for a week was, just super slow.
How funny. Shrinko, what about you? Do you throw in some extra riffs, throw in extra notes, or do you do the less is more kind of approach?
I try to find a good balance between, you know, doing enough and doing too little. So there's definitely some things that I add that, you know, originally was not done. So I have, you know, a lot of different influences. So like, I'll add actual chords into, you know, the bass line instead of just playing like single notes all the time. And that's a way to help me fill, you know, low end space while he's filling high end space and really just getting a big sound of just, you know, two string players. So that's definitely something I try to do.
Jack, had you listened to these bands before? Had you listened to Deep Purple before when you were a kid or growing up or a teenager?
I did a little bit. My dad used to listen to them, but I never really caught on as much aside from, you know, a lot heavier bands that I listened to when I was little.
Yeah. Is it, I'm trying to think what the word would be. I wouldn't say fresher, but is it easier? I don't want to say that either. Is it easier playing a song like this than it is playing some like the, what I call death metal?
No, not at all. Really? Like switching from, well, not, I wouldn't say switching from it because I still practice. I practice all of it, but like learning John Bonham stuff, all of this stuff, it's just all a learning experience. And it'll, like I said, it makes you a better player.
Absolutely. Well, it's one of my favorite songs, one of my favorite Deep Purple songs you guys put together. And I really like how you did this. So this is Dazer. We're going to play it for you now. The band is Dazer. They're from Clemson, South Carolina. And the song Highway Star here on the Music of America podcast. their version of Highway Star, the band Dazer, here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. We're going to talk about another one of their cover songs in just a moment. You know, we've all done this, and I'm sure these guys have done this. They're young, but they've still done it. I'm sure you find that perfect tone you've been looking for, and then the club owner walks up and says, you know, you're a little too loud there, or something like that, and you got to change that, what you spent the whole night trying to achieve, you know, that spot, you know, the sweet spot. You're always there, the tone, it's right there, and now you got to change it. Well, introducing the Lexi from Landry Amps. The Lexi is a 100-watt amp that has at its core a vintage Plexi circuit. The Lexi has a rhythm crunch channel, boosted lead channel, digital reverb, a tube buffered effects loop, depth control, and awesome voice switch. Considerably more gain than the Plexi does at volumes ranging from a whisper all the way to concert volumes, and it's designed to be played at those lower volumes. Two channels each have their own gain and master volume, but they share the EQ. It's a really, really cool amp. You can check it out at Landry Amps, www.landryamps. He's also got a YouTube channel, Bill Landry does. You go to his Landry Amps YouTube channel, and he'll actually go through every one of his amps and say, now here's this one, here's this one. He's an incredible player. He plays the intro and the outro that we use here, actually, on the Music of America podcast. Bill's a good friend, and he's an excellent, well, he's just a genius. You got to hear these amps, you'll know. But anyway, it's Landry Amps, www.landryamps.com. Grant, get you one of these amps, and
okay, I'll work on it. I've heard his amps before; they sound great.
They're amazing.
Know?
Yeah,
yeah. Like I told you earlier, I'm a big Plexi guy. That's all, you know. I used to have a 7400 watt head Marshall. Yeah. Now I think right now I have two. I have a one's by a company called RJS, which is a similar head, and then right, I have right. another. Then I have a Sur SL68, which is, you know, they're 100 watt Plexis, basically. It's just Marshall's not making them anymore, so you know you got these other companies making them, which I don't see why Marshall doesn't. I think they'd make a killing if they did, but
no, because there are people like Bill that started playing Marshalls that perfected the circuitry, and now Marshall's like, why? I mean, they got all these other guys that are out there doing it for half the price, or twice the price, but a better, you know, better vibe, whatever.
Yeah.
So Welcome to the Jungle was the song I hated to sing. For obvious reasons, but also, you know, we were in St. Louis right after the whole Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses big riot that broke out at the Riverport Amphitheater. So we would do the song when people wanted to, but our guitar player just loved playing it because it's got such really cool parts to it, and I really hated it. So. But when we first got together, we actually met. We were playing at a place, the St. Louis County Fair and Air Show, and we transitioned from an acoustic group that I was playing with at the time, which was the Three Hermans. And we segued from that into what became Modern Vintage, which was our band, using the song Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Very cool.
And so we started off acoustic, and then Ryan, our guitar player, came out like the acoustic guys kind of faded out, and then the electric band came in and just bam, power chord, you know, went right into a Knocking on Heaven's Door is really cool. So anyway, that's my story. Enough. Thank you. Good night. And, we were talking off during the commercial break during Highway Star, rather. You guys have it, you know, you guys have the look. You have the talent, which you have to have, of course. You have the drive, and you have the idea that's going to work for you guys. So tell me, any one of you, how you see this progressing. Because, like, Grant, you've already talked on a little bit, like, play covers to get people to come to the shows and then introduce them to your music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How far do you want to go with this, Jack?
I mean, I want to take this, you know, take, like, Motley Crue, take it to the top. But
there you go.
I mean, it's a dream for me to play, like, arenas and stadiums. And that's literally the end goal here. I mean, that's it'll happen.
Austin, who would you like to open for?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Who would you like to open for? They say, ladies and gentlemen, before it comes out, we're going to hear this band, Dazer.
Yeah, I've got a few on my list. Definitely want to be Aerosmith. Aerosmith, Poison. I think it'd be pretty cool with Motley Crue. And Kiss isn't, you know, touring anymore, but that would have been, you know.
It's so funny you said Kiss, because all day today, that song, I Was Made for Loving You, has been stuck in my head. And you guys would kill that song, I think.
Yeah, I think we actually used to play.
Oh,
we used to have one song of Kiss on our set list, but a new band actually, Dirty Honey, or not new, they've been around for, you know, probably like 6-7 years now. But Dirty Honey is, I'd say, probably one of the more forefront of, you know, rock bands today.
Yeah.
That is modern rock band. You know, the very Aerosmith influenced, and got some Zeppelin in there too, Black Crows. But yeah, them too. That'd be awesome to open for them as well.
Shranko, I got one for you. X band loses their bass player for the night. They call you up and say, we got to fly you out to LA. You have to play bass for us. Can you play bass for us? It's like the whole rock star movie with Mark Wahlberg. We need a bass player. Who you're, in your ideal world, who do you get to play bass for?
Who do I get to play bass for? If I had to, realistically,
yeah,
bands who I know are playing right now, one of my favorites would be Judas Priest.
No kidding.
Yeah.
A Judas Priest fan. Man, I haven't come across, I've been doing this for a year now almost, and I have not heard a Judas Priest reference except me, you know. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm really big into their early work.
Yeah.
Much more, you know, before Painkiller, but also appreciate Scott Travis for sure. He's great, and so a lot of the later stuff I love too.
Cool. Grant, where do you want to play? When you play at blank, you know that we have made it. When we open at blank.
Yeah,
you can,
I mean,
still go up from there, but you know, we're opening. We're playing at the Garden.
If we were playing at the Garden, the Red Rocks, if we were opening for any of the bands that he was talking about, you know, anything like that, I'm like, you know.
No, you're happy. Headliner. You're headliner now. You're headliner.
Okay,
when you're
headlining, okay,
you're headlining where? And you say, guys, we've made it. We are here.
I think either the Garden or Red Rocks. I've always loved the Red Rocks. I thought it was just such a cool place.
Uh-huh.
And so that Red Rocks and the Garden are on the bucket list for sure.
That's so cool. And that's just, I mean, you guys have the drive. You have the vision. You have the talent. It's just, I'm so excited for you guys.
Thank you. We're ecstatic.
Obviously, I'm a fan.
Thank you.
We've got one more of your songs we got to play. And it's Welcome to the Jungle. We made references to it before. Why that one? Why not Paradise City? Why not Heaven's Door? Why not something else?
So this is one of the ones that we recorded a long time ago. Like, it's one of our first recordings.
Uh-huh.
So that was with the old drummer. So that the reason we chose that one was because we didn't want to do, our whole thing is, especially since we are playing covers out, it might sound kind of counterproductive, but we never really wanted to play the cliche cover bar songs.
Right.
Because, you know, we didn't want to play. We used to do some of them because the crowd, you know, and everybody just wants to hear them. But we chose Welcome to the Jungle just because we thought it had the most energy and it just kind of the most, you know, we're very, if anybody comes sees our shows, they know we're very raw. There's no, we don't play the tracks. You know, we're very, right, like 70s hard rock band, you know, just drums, bass, guitar, and vocals, and he and I on backup vocals. But you know, as far as that song specifically, I think it just captured the energy that you see when you come to see us live, because, you know, we don't just stand there, you know, and play in one little spot. You know,
right,
Austin's jumping around, I'm doing a split, Shrenko's on his back, you know, there's only so much Jack can do sitting behind a kid, but he's moving, you know, he's getting. I look back, and I just see hair banging.
Maybe he can strap on a cajon, learn some marching band techniques from Shranko, and he can walk around.
That'll be his new drum solo in the set.
How funny. Well, the song is, I was going to ask you, where does this lie in your set usually? Welcome to the Jungle. Is it in the middle? Is it the beginning?
I think it is usually towards the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, all throughout the songs, you know, we got spaces, you know, I don't die up there. So we have some gigs that are 4 hours long and it's all hard rock.
Yeah.
You know, ranging from Zeppelin to Aerosmith to Guns N' Roses to Motley Crue, Poison.
Yeah.
So it's usually in the middle to earlier in the set.
Austin, do you ever pick up and play second guitar once in a while?
I don't, but I'm learning now. So, because a couple of the songs that we're writing now, you know, have parts in it to where we're going to need another guitar player, just to do rhythm parts, you know, like on acoustic or something, like some of the ballad ones that we're, you know, working on now. But definitely picking it up, or I've been picking it up and, you know, learning more about it.
Jack actually plays guitar too. He plays a little guitar as well. So he's on some of the ballad stuff we're doing where it's just acoustically, he's going to be strumming a 12 string while I'm doing the 6-string lead and stuff like that.
Oh, no kidding. That'll be really sweet. Yeah. Well, let's get back to something heavier, and that's Welcome to the Jungle. It's the last song we're going to hear today, maybe from Dazer, and we'll talk about maybe on the next segment of the show we call Shameless Self-Promotion. But right now, Dazer, Welcome to the Jungle, here on the Music of America podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to the jungle. Dazer here on the Music of America podcast. Gentlemen, you are it. You have what they call the it factor. I've said that to you and I'm saying it again. And if people could see the video that I'm seeing, they would absolutely agree. You're charming and you're not this, you know, you have a very good stage presence on the camera. And of course, again, you've got the talent, you have the drive, you have the ambition. That all put together is called the it factor, and you have the it factor. So run with that. Now I'm done. I shut up. This part is called shameless self-promotion. This is where you guys talk about you. Let's talk a little bit more about Night Lady. Things that are coming up, shows that are coming up, when we can see you, where we can see you, and how we as fans can support Dazer. Go.
Yeah. So the closest thing coming up, as far as releasing wise, we have Night Lady coming out sometime in April. We're anticipating within the first 2 weeks of April. So that's been a fun process. And so, you know, everybody check that out, please, whenever it comes out. And then as far as going forward for the year, we want to do a EP in the middle of the year. And at the end, we want to release a full album. So we want to do both of those things and, you know, grow our catalog as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And then, like you mentioned, we just did a Highway Star video, a cover video on YouTube. If anybody wants to check that out, it's real fun. We all had a great time doing it. And, you know, it has a cool car in the beginning that actually one of our friends owns. She's one of our friends. She has a 1972.
I think
it's a 72. She has a 72 Camaro, and we use that in the oh, beginning cool. of the video for Highway Star, which was cool. So yeah, check that out. And our website is thebanddazer.com, and that's Dazer, D-A-Z-R. We always get people who don't know how to say our name a bunch of times. We get Dazier, Dazier. Dazar.
That's what I was going with. Dazar. Yeah.
And we the name we actually found on a gas pump, and so we just stole it whenever we were looking for it because we couldn't think of a name. So I was like, "Well, how about that?" And I just pointed at some graffiti and it said Dazar. I was like, "It looks cool to me." so that's clever. Yeah, and then our Instagram is @theband_Dazer, and the same for the rest of the socials. If anybody would like to check those out, we'd really appreciate it. And yeah, if you head to our website, thebanddazer.com, we've got t-shirts, hoodies, beanies, women's crop tops, posters. If you want us staring at you all day, so we can be on your wall.
GoFundMes that we're going to be posting because studio time is expensive.
Yes.
So if you check us out and you really dig us and you want to support us as much as you can, just be on the lookout for that type of stuff. And we really appreciate all the help that we've gotten so far and then we'll hopefully get in the future. So, yeah.
That's really smart, man. I've not heard any bands plugging their GoFundMe, and I think that's a great way to pay for your recording sessions because that time ain't cheap, man.
Yeah, it's not like the 70s anymore where rock bands are getting multi-million-dollar six-month recording contracts. Right. You know, it's a lot of it is kind of DIY. It's a lot of it's do-it-yourself, and then you know, the music industry has changed so much. It's like do-it-yourself, and then after you put all the money into it, then if it gets noticed, then they'll pick you up. You know, it's not really like they're finding you before and, you know, getting you in, but it's just the landscape of music has changed. But did want to give a shout out to my mom and dad. Thank you guys so much for everything you guys do.
Austin's mom and dad too, or?
Austin's mom and dad too, yeah. literally would not be able to do this without you guys and my sister. She's actually our marketing manager. She does all of our marketing.
Tammy.
So my sister's name is Caroline. So our mom is Tammy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so, but both of them, and of course, my dad helping us out as well. So just want to say, you know, thank you guys to them.
Right on.
For our family supporting us being musicians.
That's big step as a parent. So.
Yeah. Jack, you want to, since everybody's saying thanks,
Mom? Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't be able to do it without them. Like they've supported me so much. You know, not letting me go to school to pursue music. It's changed my life, and I, you know, I love them so much. I wouldn't be able to do it without them.
Y'all are amazing, man. You got a great future. I can't say it any other way.
Thank you so much.
I'm blessed to have you on the show. And Dazer, Dazr, watch them. They are the epitome of up and coming. Well, we talked about it. We hoped it would come in, and it came in. Night Lady, a new song by the band Dazer here on the Music of America podcast. Next, on to the Black Hills. We're headed to South Dakota all next week here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows
and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our Best Of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America.